What up, Matt Town? It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show. You're listening to 92.7 FM, WMDX. I am so excited to be in the house tonight. We're about to have some funny, challenging, uncomfortable, Black-centered, Black-blackity-Black conversation. And if you're offended or if you get uncomfortable, I have done my job. Amen. Amen. So happy Saturday to everybody. I have a guest co-host in the house. My man, my dude, Clyde Mayberry, right? Can you do me a favor and do an introduction? Who are you? What do you do in this world of Madison, Wisconsin?
Oh, Lord. Hello, everyone. It is your favorite cousin, Clyde Mayberry. Some of you may know me as Brian, but I am here. I am a Black man. I am the founder and CEO of the House Urban Arts Initiative. I am also a socialism person who just moves around, entrepreneurship, all those things. I'm just here to talk. Can we cuss?
Well, I guess you could say the D word, right? No? What up, Luke? What words can we say? We forgot to prep him.
I'm not going to cuss.
Okay, because
yeah, let's just keep it family friendly. Family friendly radio station.
Well, I'm here to talk my stuff with my sister Brandi.
Okay. See, y'all, you see it's about to be a show. So today we're going to talk about a few things, but you want to stay tuned for the entire show because it is going down. We're going to talk about misogyny, and we're going to talk about misogyny in a few aspects. We're going to connect it to LGBTQ movement. We're going to talk about how it shows up in the work of nonprofit work. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it as it relates to relationships between Black people with inside the culture of Blackness, how it just happened. So I want to start because I got to get something off my chest that has something to do with misogyny and nothing to do with what I just said. But yes, it does because it has something to do with nonprofit. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I went in about Wagner CPA, and we hired them last year, 2023, to do our books in compilation, which means that the CPA is responsible for ensuring that our expenses are classified correctly, yep, that we can bill where we're billing. And then when we get audited, we spent $220,000 last year, more than I was making at the time on this particular CPA firm. And when we started the agreement or the relationship, there was already some tension between Wagner and Urban Triage, and it's because how the white people on their team showed up in our meetings, talking at us, talking down. They were just really bothered by us.
Superior,
right? Mm-hmm. And that often shows up in like contracts that we have that where we're paying folks to do work and they're white, right? So, and I'm bringing this up because I have a draft of our audit that just came to us yesterday and I have to meet with the auditor and I am pissed. Mm. Like, I am so bothered. I woke up, it's been on my mind. If you see me on Facebook, I have bags underneath my eyes, like I'm not looking
Sorry
well.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and it's because it's for the first time in Urban Triage history that we got a ding in our audit. Mm. We have never, ever had any issues in our audit, like never, never. Financial management, we've managed millions of dollars.
Yeah.
As we continue to expand, I was like, we need to get a CPA that can make sure we continue on this trend.
Yeah.
And instead of making sure we continued on the trend, now we have a questionable ding on our audit. So I meet with the auditor next week because I'm not even sure what it's about or where it's coming from. And that's how it works. But I wanted to share what misogyny looks like for nonprofit organizations led by a Black woman and how the hate actually ends up being like not even just hate, but actual like almost like sabotaging. And it wasn't the first time that they sabotaged us. So we always bumped heads because I'm saying, what you're saying isn't right. That doesn't look right. It doesn't sound right. And now that we have a new CPA firm, Koloff, first of all, CPAs never say anything about other CPAs. They're not going to say, oh, they did this wrong because of those relationships. Just like going to a dentist.
Yeah.
When someone messes up on your tooth, but they ain't going to say that dentist really screwed up your implant or something. They're not going to do it. So most of our conversations is that's interesting. That's interesting that was done. We're not sure why that was done, but that's interesting.
That's different.
But I paid $220,000 to this organization organization to make sure that our accounting and our paperwork was on par, and it's not. And I'm so heated, and I feel so powerless in the conversation, because what do? Because at the end of the day, when you have an audit, you are ultimately responsible for the audit, even if you hired someone who's supposed to have the expertise to do the work. And there's two different levels of a CPA that you can invest in when you hire someone on. So know this for my nonprofit and business people. You can hire them for compilation, which means that they're responsible for making sure what they're expensing, what they're reporting, and the reimbursement request aligns with the contract, the law, the state, federal, whatever it is. And then you can hire them, or you can hire them for preparation, where you actually classify your own stuff.
Okay.
So prior to Wagner, we were classifying our own stuff, and we didn't have a problem. We didn't have no issues, but I felt like we needed to ensure that we continue not to have issues, so we hired the experts, and now we have an issue. And when I tell you, my heart is so bothered and that I can't sleep, because as a Black organization, when there's a question about your financial management, it could cause a whole
heap of problems
of stuff. So again, I'm not even sure where it's coming from, because when you have a single audit, the language used in the audit, I can't understand it. Like, it's all these big words and legal words. So now I have to meet with the auditor to even get understanding of what this means. So I share this because our topic today is misogyny, right? And how it is a different intersection for Black women, whether you're in business or leader, and how people just treat you. Like, I have an example of, like, even with our gala, right? We just had a gala last week.
Beautiful event.
It was awesome.
Right across the street. You know, we downtown, so we can see it all, right? But
So, again, you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show on WMDX with my boy Clyde Mayberry. He's in the house. He's on my co-host today. But yes, we had a beautiful event at the Overture Center. Sold out. Thank everybody for coming. It was elegant. It was classy.
I snuck in.
It's all right. You was welcome to sneak in after dinner was served.
It was sold out.
Yeah. So even in that experience, we hired folks, and they, you know, it's expensive to hire people, whether it's event player or anything like that. I'm not going to mention the person's name, but they didn't give us the same services that they gave other people. And the reason, and everybody noticed it. Everybody on our board noticed. Other people who had hired this individual noticed, like, they didn't have the same energy. And it felt like they were mad or irritated. And then in our board meeting, as we're like debriefing about our gala, what we need to do differently, what worked, what didn't work, how to improve our entertainment, whatever, so we can be better and greater later. After we're breaking this down, someone on our board said, the reason that it was different, Brandy, is because it's probably the first event that they've ever attended where it was Black focused unapologetically. And that conversation around Blackness and centering Black people make
people uncomfortable.
Right? So just by being in your presence,
I'm in the right place.
Right. Yes, you are, sir. Yes, you are. That you make people uncomfortable. So then they show up half, you know what? Right? So, and that's just another thing. And then it's like, I can't even really talk about it, because at the end of the day, then I get seen as the angry Black woman, which is why even when the thing was happening with Wagner, I couldn't even talk about it, right? Because I was afraid that they would do something to harm our business. And they did. So anyway, I'm done running my mouth. But what's your take on this, Guy?
First of all, are you okay?
I'm not okay. I'm just processing. Look at my face. Look at my hair.
Yeah.
I look a hot mess.
You don't look a hot mess. You look good.
Okay, thank you, friend. Thank you, friend.
But
thank
no, seriously, friend. Are you okay? Because that's a lot.
Oh, my God. I want to cry, but I'm not. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to wait till I get done, because I sometimes forget to come and record. And I was like, and I was thinking about the producer. I was like, if I don't get my butt up and go and record, I'm going to have to hear Luke mouth. I'm going to have to hear Sage mouth. I'm going to have to, Kat, let me get my butt up and make it there no matter how I feel. But I feel really icky today.
And so, why we're here, right?
Yeah.
How that fits misogyny, how that fits racism, right?
Yep.
Because we get put in seats where we're asked to make things greater, right?
Yep.
And for us as Black folks, especially in leadership, we're always like, to be greater, sometimes we have to hire
others.
These people,
yeah,
because
you want to hire the experts to teach you what you don't know, so you can make sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we bring in these folks and we're like, they got our back and they're going to make us look good. They're going to make us feel good.
Absolutely.
And then in the end, racism shows up,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does.
The money is the same, right? Because the check's clear, right?
Absolutely.
And just like their other clients, but for you, it's like, we're going to create mayhem.
Yep.
You know, and that's just how racism shows up. And people don't understand that it shows up that easy, right?
It does.
It just like,
It does. And a lot of it, too, is like unconscious dynamics.
Yeah.
And I try to help people understand that. So I think another perfect example is the incident that I saw you in conversation in Facebook. Mm-hmm. It was really about black men dating black women or marrying white women, not dating black women, but marrying white women, or
yeah.
that interracial dynamic that occurred. And your conversation was with this particular gentleman. It's like, it's hard for us and hard for me to see you as someone who's advocated, rooting for, and in alignment in centering black needs, black relationships, and black families, mm-hmm. when your family doesn't represent that.
Exactly.
Right? And that person was like, that's not true. I could still be that and mm-hmm. do that. And you were like, no, that's not how racism works. Because when you're in a relationship outside of your, you know, your race, then mm-hmm. you have to ride with the people you married with. Because that's just a dynamic.
It just has to be that way.
And if you're not riding with that person, then there's something...
You shouldn't be in that marriage.
Right. Because you got to ride with them. So there's a power dynamic and there's a differences that occur whether we want to admit it to it or not. And that person was like, no, that's not true. I could still be this. I could still be that. And then the person's wife jumped into the conversation, who's a white woman. And I thought, see, that's the difference. Like, you didn't even understand that that conversation between two black men wasn't for you to engage in, because it's a race conversation.
Yeah.
And there's a power dynamic that's already there that occurs, and she should have set it out.
Yeah, but she didn't.
She did not.
And she came in very violent.
She did.
Very angry.
She was.
And it was like, my point is proven, right? Yep. Like, we can't have a conversation, because it wasn't necessarily about, like, you being a black man dating this white woman. Mm-hmm. It was just in spaces where your voice is not needed, just close your mouth, right? Because there's enough of us doing work. It's like, if I'm showing up in a space where black women are doing their thing, and there's a ton of black women in the room, and I'm like, but la, 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 la.
Right.
Shut up, Clyde. Like, let the sisters handle
this. First of all, and I will tell Clyde to shut up.
Okay.
Because... I would be like, boy, now you know.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be black woman led. Now be quiet.
Exactly. And it's like, you're just here to support us. And ding, a light will go off and be like, okay, Clyde, just be quiet. If she needs a pen, hand her a pen.
Right.
She needs a computer, somebody to take notes. Do that.
Do that.
Oh, baby, this lady showed up. Yeah. You're stupid. You're dumb with all the name calling. Yes. And he's supporting her saying this.
That's because people don't have the appropriate analysis of power dynamics.
Yeah.
And that's where we're falling short, whether it is inside our own culture with black people, mm-hmm. when we have conversations about race and patriarchy and misogyny, we have a hard time distinguishing, like, okay, this is how patriarchy,
the boundaries,
and there's always boundaries, because there's always power dynamics active, and not power dynamics that we created, but the power dynamics was created by the institution of white supremacy, mm-hmm. and white supremacy demands certain types of relationships, some types of communications, and we can get into that in a minute. And you don't want to miss rest of the tea, because I want to talk to y'all about the black wife effect that's trending all over TikTok. So continue to show up and listen on 92.7 FM. Mm-hmm. You're listening to WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host Clyde on the Black Conversion Show. We'll be back in a minute.
Good, you can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly, I look too good.
All right, you're back. You're listening to 92.7 FM on WMK. Ain't okay in WMDX, okay? You're listening to 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show with my boy, Clyde.
Yo, yo, yo.
Thank you for staying tuned. So just for a quick recap, what we've talked about so far is how misogyny shows up in leadership, especially for black women. I talked about how we have a ding on our audit, a financial ding that I'm uncertain about, how that's what it come from, what it is, mm-hmm. and how bothered I am because we mm-hmm. spent a lot of money on Wagner CPA to ensure that we were good to go. And our team and their team was supervised by, what is the mayor of Fitchburg? Julie, I don't know her name. But anyway, she's a mayor of Fitchburg, and she was actually in charge of our account.
Mm.
Yes, a Latino woman. So I also had this additional, like, okay, we good. And now I'm screwed, y'all. And I don't even know. I'm just so hurt. Like, and again, it's not like we hired them for preparation. Preparation is when we classify our own expenses and we say this goes to that contract. No, we hired them to do compilation, which is double the price. And their job was to ensure every expense was expensed accordingly by law and by based on the contract and funding. So I don't even know. But I was just sharing that I'm really upset. And I was expressing how misogyny occurs in this kind of hatred of black women, period, but then how it's compounded with black women. And then we went on to talk about a conversation that you were having on Facebook about this dynamic between black men and their white wives or girlfriends, and how you were having a conversation with this particular gentleman about race and how it's hard to respect and receive what you're saying when it comes to black families and black relationships and black needs.
And black hip hop.
And black
hip hop. And things of that nature.
That's black centered, because there's this also this undertone of if you really, and it could be right or wrong, right? There's no, I'm not here to judge whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
However, I am here to say that there's some consideration to be given when we're talking about power dynamics.
Yes.
And we're talking about white people being part of those power dynamics.
Exactly.
And also how men also, whether you black, white, or whatever, also inherently has a power dynamic that's connected to situations. So Clyde was saying, if I'm in a room with black women and they're the experts in that space, and I stand up and say, hey, this is what I think, and then I overpower, then he as a man is enforcing a power dynamic due to patriarchy, due to the systems that none of us had anything to do with, right?
But AKA all toxic masculinity.
Yes, and all of it steams from racism, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we were talking about. So anything you want to add to that conversation before we move on, Clyde?
As Brandy was saying, it's not necessarily even, because you know somebody will say, like, it's black man dating white women. It's just black man dating outside of black women that we find in these spaces that there is an issue. And they have characteristics in Madison, Wisconsin. Like, Madison is so small that you're like, who is this brother? What is he doing? Or who is this sister and what is she doing? Because it shows up with sisters, too, that are not married to black men.
Yep.
We're in spaces, we're having conversations. And this is the work that we do.
Yep.
We defend black people every single minute of our lives.
We do.
So we sit at a lot of tables like this. But to go back to my point, it's like the characteristics is always like, okay, we're here, and they're mentioning things like DEI. They're mentioning things like, we're writing this and we're doing this. And you're like, first of all, I never heard of you.
Right.
Who are you? Like, where did you come from? And then when you get to doing your homework, you're like, okay, she's not married to a black man, or he's not married to a black woman. That explains why we're not connected, because it's, you can't even be in community with these people, right?
So why can't, okay, I'm gonna play the devil advocate. Why is it difficult for that for us to be in community? Because that's what you're saying. Like, hey,
if
you're married outside of your race, it's hard to be in community. If I decide right now in my
classism,
but look, what if I decide right now, if I, like, I've been pro-black, black-centered, unapologetically
Brandy,
black.
Brandy, don't play with me.
What if I decide to get me a white man because he treats me better? He, you know what I mean? Not even better, because let's not do comparison, but he treats me well. He loves me.
You're
he
happy.
Adores me. And I'm happy. And it feels good to have this person love. So does that mean that I no longer have the same position in my community that I currently have?
Not saying that you can't continue to do the things that you do.
Okay.
But when marrying someone, let's say the white man that you said, you now are part of privilege, right?
But and so I have now, privilege right now, though. I'm just saying.
You right, but you date black men. But I'm going to go to you, like you said, you're going to be with a white man, right?
Yeah.
So your privilege changes, right?
Okay.
The dinners you attend, the circles you sit in, the community that you communicate with, that all changes.
What if I change him? What if I move him out of
the black wife effect?
Right.
It still doesn't matter, because their power, their superiority, and the things that they have, the inherited racism, their family dynamics, that is still the same, right?
So I can't remain real and authentic just because I marry a white man?
No.
Okay.
And it's okay, sis. Just get out the way. Let somebody else do it, right?
So what do I lose as a person when I decide to marry someone other than a black man?
You don't lose anything, right? But it's just how you show up. You showed up as this black person who was pro-black, and these are the things that I wanted to see for my community. You lose that, right? You lose those titles. You lose those movements. And that's okay, right? You can go on and be a secretary for the state or something like that. Like,
Shut up.
Do your thing. You can go join a book club. Like, you can do all those things.
Facebook in Madison, Wisconsin, if y'all don't come and get your boy.
But it's just because there's other people that could take the reins, right? Urban Triage is bringing up all these powerful people. That's when you hand it over.
So then I can't even run Urban Triage no more?
You can't. You can't. And I'll be the first one to be like, oh, Brandy gotta go. She gotta go. But that does that not always happen, right? It's happening right now in non-prophecy and leadership. Black men and women are leaving their black significant others for non-black people. We're gonna all see it, but if you ain't heard.
So I agree and I disagree, right? Because I think that people can be authentically them and they can still love the Black Power movement. They could still unapologetically, I could still show up and be like, I center black people.
In 2024, you believe that?
Well, I just believe if I decide, if someone other than a black man shows up and loves me in a way that edifies me, makes me glow and helps me grow and brings value to my world, that I could still authentically be black centered. Now, what I also would agree with is that my conversations in spaces could not be the same.
It won't.
It would not because of the influence. So what I hear you saying is that we are influenced and shaped by our environments.
We do.
And when we marry outside of our race, we then become influenced by the people that we're around, whether it's their family, their network, their influences. Yes. And then that shapes us and changes the dynamics of how, not only how I show up, but also changes the dynamics on how people see me and perceive me, and how the impact of my communication and connections in my community will automatically change, whether it's consciously, unconscious, and if whether it's something that I self-direct or even notice, it happens automatically.
Yeah.
Okay, I could agree to that.
Yeah, because we pick up the characteristics of anti-blackness with all of that, right?
But don't we already have access and exposed to anti-blackness with inside black culture?
Yes. We always have to unpack that. We have to unlearn that, because that is just who we are. So even while we're unlearning that, we have to be very careful with how we move, right? I'm a black gay man in Madison, Wisconsin. Majority of gay marriages in Madison, Wisconsin dealing with black folks is it's one black person in it.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the other person is white or non-black. Yeah. I have to, within the work that I do, stay who I am, and I have to date a black man.
I'm going to put this on pause because I also want to talk about misogyny within black LGBTQ movements and what that looks like. So you're listening to 92.7 FM WMDX. You're listening to your girl, Brandy Grayson, the show Black Conversion, nothing but tea, nothing but uncomfortable conversation, and my favorite cousin Clyde that always brings the tea. We'll be back in a jiff. Hostess with the mostest is back, Brandy Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show. You're listening to 92.7 FM WMDX. Why do I have a hard time with the letters? WMDX. I think I want to say the Lincoln, because I had the Lincoln MDXK or some stuff, and I'd be confusing the acronym. Don't worry about me.
You're good.
I have my favorite cousin, Clyde, in the house as my co-host today. We're talking about misogyny, and I want to transition into the conversation around how misogyny shows up, not just in the movement within white LGBTQIA, but also within the black movement of LGBTQIA. So I'm going to let you lead it, because I'm not the expert, and that's really not, but I'm going to give my opinion, of course.
Go for it.
But I'm going to let you just start the conversation with our listeners, or how does it show up? And misogyny, for our listeners, again, is the hate of women and how it's compounded in the intersection of black, when you're black and woman, and how that shows up in movements and LGBT movements, whether it's white or black. Go ahead, Clyde. Give us some tea.
So as I maneuver through the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, no disrespect, I'm one of the girls, so y'all can come and play with me if y'all want to. We can go there. But in this Madison arena, because I have to learn that in the work that I do, mm-hmm. I work in Madison. So let me not just be like all around the world. But in this Madison movement, what I have learned working within this community mm-hmm. that I'm a part of is mm-hmm. that you don't see heterosexual black women at any of the tables.
Yeah.
And it's not because they were invited and they didn't come.
Right.
It was because they were just not even invited.
Right.
But you will see heterosexual white women and heterosexual white men at those tables, right?
That's
and,
interesting. I never even thought about that.
Every time. And so I'm always like, okay, this is a little weird. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always like the only black voice at the table as well.
Yeah.
And so I like what I think is happening within that misogyny with mm-hmm. black women is mm-hmm. that white queer people think that black women are the most homophobic people the world.
They do.
Right?
I get called homophobic a lot.
Yeah. It just comes out, right?
Yeah.
And it's because within our culture, if a man hold an umbrella, he is gay. And it will be a sister to probably call it out first, or a brother,
so
right?
So let's back up, because our listeners might be confused by your statement.
Yeah,
so when he said our culture, what he's referring to is black people generally is very conservative.
Very.
And we're more conservative than conservatives themselves, even in our church.
Yeah.
So anytime you do things, and this is a general statement, not absolute, because there's always exceptions. Generally speaking, mm-hmm. there's this undertone that says if you show any traits of femininity, whether it's, you know, with your hands or with your talk or with
your
speech, you must be gay. Right? And then gay in our culture is really seen.
It's funny now that I think.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of stupid.
His pants is tight. He gay.
Yeah, he gay. Everything's gay.
I do it too.
Yeah, you
like,
do.
And I'm gay. Right. And I'll be like, he gay.
And he does, y'all.
I do.
So, but when you overhear it and you're outside of the culture, what you might hear is
homophobia.
Mm-hmm. But it's not homophobic if you're in the culture, because inside our culture, we understand, like, that's how we talk, one, and two, we distinguish homophobia about how you embody it.
Yeah.
Do you actually hate gay people?
Yeah.
Are you actually harming gay people?
Right.
Are you saying gay people shouldn't exist?
Right.
Like, that's what
homophobia is. Part of our stuff talking.
Our stuff talking.
We will talk about your
the
hair.
Joneses. We talk about everything.
We talk about how you smell.
We talk about your mama.
Yeah, your dad mama. Oh, this ain't funny. It's not funny, but
it's not.
We will. So nothing's off
limits.
Guards, in our community.
Yep.
And so when other cultures that are not in our community see that, they're mm-hmm. always like, homophobic, don't bring them to the table, blase. And it's like, it's not even like that. And so...
Yeah, because I had mentioned, let me give you an example, and you tell me if I'm homophobic.
I'm listening.
Because if I am, then there's a teaching moment there, because maybe I am, and I don't know, because a lot of our dynamics are unconscious, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's room for improvement, yes, there's room, but we can always make improvement, and we also have to hold space for people's culture and their environment and their indoctrination.
We have to
unlearn things, even if it's cultural, right? So there's always room for that. But I want to point out something that occurred when I was on Facebook, and I made a post about a black gay dude who's black but biracial heritage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this particular guy had cornered me in a like, I was leaving an event, and he cornered me, and he was like, "You be you this, I beat your butt. You owe me $500," and I felt like I couldn't defend myself. He said I owe him $500 because he did I ran for Alder, and he was my campaign manager for like 4 days, like maybe 30 days, but he didn't do anything. And he was like, "You still owe me $500 now this is years ago, right? And I haven't talked to him since. So when he cornered me, I felt like, dang, I can't even defend myself or do anything physically, even when I felt threatened, because he's a man. So I had said that on Facebook. I said, this man, even though he has a feminine nature, is still a man, and I still felt threatened and unsafe. And then people came back, was like, "Well, that was homophobic because you identify that he was feminine." So I wanna put that on the table to you. And how does that come across to you as a black gay man? And is there a teaching moment for me, and something that I need to reflect on and get into discovery of about myself?
That's a good question. For me, if we get into it and you identify me, right? And it's like, that's a man, and I'm still like, "Let's rumble, let's do our ones."
Yeah.
My excuse would be that I'm feminine and you're feminine. Let's go at it.
No,
right?
I'm not fighting you. You a I'm whole not man.
So I can see where you would be like,
"I'm
hey,
good on that fight.
I know, right?
I'm good. Do y'all see this, brother? I'm good.
But I can see where you would say, like, even though you feminine, that doesn't mean that we gonna go at it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you hey, relax.
Go.
I can go get my brother.
Go get my man.
Yeah. I don't think that was homophobic, right?
Okay.
And then again, at the same token, it's like, we do not come off and deliver hate if we are saying homophobic slurs. Right. Black people are the most gentle people that walk this earth, and we got to remember that, right?
I agree.
I've been called all type of names by my community. I call sissies all the time, right? That don't mean I hate
But you get to do that, though, because don't you get to say things as a gay man that a heterosexual doesn't get to say?
No, because, that's not fair.
I know, but the N-word is something that Black people get to use. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, without prejudice. I mean, I don't think anybody should be using the word, but if I hear a Black person say it, I'm not offended.
Right.
But if I hear a white person say it, I'm offended. So isn't that similar in terms of power dynamics?
It could be similar to some folks, mm-hmm. but I do feel like we got to remember that the N-word was like birthed and rooted out of hate in America, right? Yeah. Compared to...
Isn't sissy the same thing, though?
Sissy can be the same thing in mm-hmm. some spaces, but for me, as a Black man first mm-hmm. and a queer man second, mm-hmm. I would put the N-word way up here, and right. I would put sissy down here, right? Mm-hmm.
So that like, intersection
they
of identities.
They don't play
yeah.
side by side, because okay. when we give spaces where people can say, oh, these are just alike, then we start to lower
yeah.
the standard of where the N-word came from and
right.
who maneuvered that. No.
Yeah.
Way up here and way down here.
Okay.
So
I receive that. So how does this show up, like, when Black... So I also see, like you said, when, you know, when you go to these tables and movements, Black hetero Black women or cis-hetero women are not there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, they're not even invited.
Not,
they're not there
not
because they
all.
Don't want to be there. They're not invited. And
yeah.
also, the conversation is why. And I often feel like, and this might be homophobic, so you let me know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to say it anyway. I also feel that gay men use Black women as tropes, just like everybody else do, like a trope to mimic, to model, to like exaggerate the way our characteristics and then turn it into a caricature, which makes it misogyny, right? So and maybe my analysis is wrong, but when you see gay men being feminine, like you said, I'm a cis, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you see them demonstrating that energy, it's not after a white woman.
Right.
Who is it after? Who is
and
it reflecting
clear,
and imitating?
And let's be clear, especially white trans ball girls, they are always, to me, and I would call it this stuff out when I'm in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't be in the scene a lot,
uh-huh.
but not here.
Right.
But when I see it here, uh-huh. it's always a white trans woman on stage exaggerating her hips, mm-hmm. exaggerating the Kim Kardashian effect,
right,
that we
that's
all
what I'm
know
saying,
where
but
they
the,
came
it,
from,
it,
right?
It takes the Black woman as a person and it turns it
yeah.
into a caricature. But
yeah.
we're not able to have that conversation, because if you have the conversation and you inquire or want to get into discovery of what is that really about,
mm-hmm.
then you're homophobic or transphobic.
Right.
Like, so how do we engage in uncomfortable conversations that hold space for identities and intersections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your Black identity, like you said, your
yeah.
queer identity, all these other identities we have.
We have to hold them. Even
yeah.
if they turn left, we have
okay.
to have them, right? Because in other spaces and other places in America, like
yeah.
in the South, these white trans women in the Midwest could never go to Atlanta Black ball scene doing
yeah.
the thing. Listen.
I think you're okay. I
yeah,
think you're okay.
yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
They could never do the stuff that they do up here
yeah.
down in the Philly, New York,
okay.
or Atlanta ballroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
They would get chopped, honey. They would be chopped off the board. Like,
yeah.
girl, find you something else to do, right?
Right?
Like, when you come to this table, we want realness. So
yeah.
you better come as Hillary Clinton. You better come as somebody else. Do not come as Michelle Obama, right? Like, do not mimic that sister.
Yeah.
And you are a whole white woman.
And
you
for
know?
Our folks who just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX. I got my co-host Clyde, my cousin Clyde, in the house. We're talking about misogyny,
yeah.
racism, and their intersection of it and how it shows up in different dynamics.
And I want to say to you, sis,
mm-hmm.
you have to be the person that have those conversations, even if they're hard.
Yeah.
Your voice has to make that change. Everything
yeah.
that started here, well, everything that has changed in America
mm-hmm.
started with one voice.
Yeah.
So don't let us use that homophobic card to silence your voice.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because we do,
yeah.
we will do that.
Yes,
like
they
when
do.
I'm, baby, let me tell you, it's privilege.
Yeah.
It's privilege.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've grew up and got into it with men?
And what you say?
And the police got there and I'm like, he's gay bashing me. Blah, blah, blah.
You didn't got more, your voice didn't got up.
Child,
he didn't got
and the police be like, go right over there. And I'll be like, yeah, that's right. It's privilege. It's like,
okay.
So we gotta.
This boy didn't use his identity.
Man, listen, you gotta use your privilege, right? But they use that to shut people up. I've
mm-hmm.
been in very aggressive conversations. I've seen them
yeah.
where they'll be like, you can't. misgender me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you about to fight this person because they, you got to relax.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's not that serious, but you're so angry.
Yeah.
And you have to redirect your anger. If a sister is coming to you saying, baby, you got hips like a black woman in their pads.
Yeah. And how that, you, yeah, and how it's a character. And I think people don't understand, like, anytime you mimic, mock a black woman, then there we have to go in and just ask ourselves, what is that about and why? And then how, like, even within our black culture, because let's go back to that's black LGBTQ movements and gay men, right? And we often find in those dynamics some hate for black women.
Yeah.
So, and what is that about?
It just stems back to racism, right? When you look at the totem pole, you see the white man at the top, you see the Asian man at the top, you see the white woman, then you see the black man, then you see the black woman at the very bottom. Black women have to be on the fence about every single thing. And I'm saying that you have to. If you want to survive past 2024, you have to question everything that looks like you. You have to question everything that wants to be you, because we're living in a time where people will literally remove you.
And that's what I feel like, is there's like this tendency to erase us and for the identities of others, right? Like, well, what you're saying doesn't matter, or this is, and I'm like, that's not how this works. And that's why I don't like to use words like minorities or people of color, because when you group
black
us,
and brown,
I don't like that.
I hate
when we talking about black people, talk about black people.
Black people, people that look like a coffee bean. That's how realists get it, baby, because they hate when I say that too. They be like, what you mean? It's rich people ain't black. Baby, we ain't talking about the same black person. Sorry.
Well, and again, there's just different proximities, and proximities meaning a different effect. The darker you get in the spectrum, the more compounded effect that is experienced because of the different systems of isms and racisms and homophobia and all of that. Because your experience as a dark, black, gay, trans woman is different than your experience as a ambiguous, trans, black woman. Does that make sense? Like, there's just this colorism and this dynamic.
Yeah. And everything.
Mm-hmm. And if we're not able to identify these words, understand them, and understand the effects, then we end up coming at each other. All the time. And again, you guys are listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl Brandy and my friend Clyde, my cousin. And we're talking about misogyny and how it shows up, and whether it's the LGBTQIA movement or other movements, the how it shows up in black dynamics and culture dynamics, because we also mimic black women, like in TikToks and reels, right?
Yeah.
Our mom was like, this is, and we do these comparison between black women, mothers, and white women. And it's not, I mean, it's funny from a cultural perspective. Like, my mama do say some stuff like that.
Right.
But also, when you think about the undertone, there's all this, there's also this dismissal of the humanity of black women.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a fact. That's a fact. We saw that with the Kardashians very well.
Yeah.
And we no one never understood it until now.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, black women has been talking about this for a very long time.
So again, thank you for continuing to listen to Black Conversion Show. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Black Wives Effect. It's trending everywhere on social media.
TikTok.
So let's get in this tea. You're listening to 92.7 FM. All right, your favorite hostess with the mostest is back, Brandy Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. I have my friend Clyde, my cousin Clyde, in the house.
Yo, yo, yo.
As my co-host. So we're going to move into the tea, right? So we've been talking about misogyny in different aspects, institutions, relationships, and dynamics. And that really hate for women, but more so the hate for black women, which is compounded in different ways. But I want to talk about this black wife effect. Clyde, what is that? Have you heard about it?
Yes. So the black wife effect is just basically a trend where folks are showing people who are non-black, who have a black wife, where they were before they dated this black wife, and then now fast forward to now they're dating a black wife, how much better they look, how much vibrant they look, how much style and swag, and they eating good and looking good, right?
and they do be looking good.
They do.
Some of these white boys come from, they turn from nerds to studs. I said, ooh. That brother went from no six pack to eight pack. See you, bro.
Yeah, lining and all. I said, oh, now he got a haircut. Look, all right.
The brother stopped going to Cost Cutters and find him a black barber.
That's exactly what has happened.
I said, you know that's a black fade.
But to our point, right? Like, when you go to the other side, it will change your whole dynamic, right?
They say once you go black, you can't never go back. You cannot go
black
back.
What they say,
black of the berry, the sweet of the juice.
I love it.
Okay, we are a hot mess. But how does this? So on one hand, right? There's this the intention, right? We're not mm-hmm. talking about the impact. The intention of the black wife effect. The mm-hmm. intention is to show to be positive. Really, is to say, look what happens when you're loved by a black woman.
Yeah.
And a lot of the men that are posting their black wives and the transitions for them are well-to-do white men.
Yeah.
And well-to-do, and they're like, I love my black woman. Mm-hmm. She has changed my life. She has changed my outlook. She didn't change my diet. She didn't change my food. I got more flavor. I pray more. We use slap your mama seasoning, not just the salt and pepper, but we got a variety of seasoning in the cabinet.
So good.
Oh,
now.
My goodness.
Where have this food been? It's been here, baby.
It's been here, right. So they feeling real proud. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, the intent really is to edify and validate the love that they're receiving from their black wives. Mm-hmm. So and on one hand, I feel like, okay, I see you and that feels real good. And on another hand, due to the dynamics and power, because I'm always going back to systems and dynamics, mm-hmm. is that, again, black women are used as tropes, like mm-hmm. this kind of like, we're seen as, no matter what our positions are. So some of these black women are leaders in their own right. Some mm-hmm. of them are millionaires and they're doing wonderful things in their mm-hmm. world. You know, they and not that money makes you wonderful. I'm just saying generally they're not in the situations where classism, like the man brought them up.
Yeah.
It's not like that. They're more so equally yoked in that manner. But what I want to point out is by like saying like, hey, black women make you better. That's how our society has always mm-hmm. coined black women, and really as mammies, the people you yeah. call when you want to feel better, when you need healing, when black men need to be healed mm-hmm. and trauma recovery
or
supported.
Yeah.
And that's what's how misogyny shows up in these dynamics. So Clyde, I'm going to ask you, what's the problem from your opinion for in this black wife effect? What's problematic about this trend?
Like you said, it just shows the black woman to be someone in the background mm-hmm. because in a lot of those videos, mm-hmm. you don't even see who the sister is.
Right.
It's just all about the non-black man that she married, right?
Right, right.
So again, it shows the sister in the background. Mm. It shows that you all can pick. You can make nothing into something, no mm-hmm. matter what it is. Because some of the videos were like, oh, he better not ever touch me. Then you're like, oh, he look good.
I can
right?
make him right.
Yeah.
We always making men right, ain't we,
yeah,
sis?
Okay.
Look, they go from looking like, you remember
nothing
that movie?
Nothing to something, wait, baby.
No, but you remember that movie with Bobby Brown? Remember he was like a crackhead or something in that movie, and they had like that successful black woman. What's the name of that movie?
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Oh, real old school movie.
Yeah, and she got his teeth fixed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know which one you're talking about. She was fine.
She was fine.
Oh, she had a good job and yeah. had money. Yeah, yeah.
I can't find no man, so I'm about
boomerang?
To build a man. No, it wasn't that one.
Boomerang. Okay.
I can't think of it, but.
Yeah, we'll get it next time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But that's how it shows up.
Yeah. So in that situation, it's just like the sister's in the background again, and yep. if you need help and want help or you want to come mm-hmm. up, go get you a sister.
Yeah, and that's how brothers are too, though. Because mm-hmm. also, oh, brothers, yeah. as we were talking about earlier in the show, and you're listening to the Black Conversion Show, we were talking about earlier how black men are dating white women. And sometimes later on in their 40s, they leave the white woman. And then they say, I'm never going back white.
Yeah.
And then they get them sisters. And yeah. then they expect us to repair them, heal them, mm-hmm. and make them right.
And they so damaged.
And they so damaged. And they're also
damaged
the same.
Goods.
Okay. And they're also this tendency to want black women to help you build your business or build you
yeah.
up like building a bear versus black women being able to have the similar expectations of our other counterparts, because white women are not expected to build their men. They're actually expected yeah. and trained and cultivated to find men that can provide provision mm-hmm. and provide security, whereas black women are expected to build a man, provide the provision. So mm-hmm. you want us to have the masculine and feminine energy mm-hmm. and then ask us to be submissive. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to figure out.
I said a whole lot.
Right. but I caught on to one part that I just want to know. How did my sisters get there, right? Mm. Like, and I see it because I hang around nothing but a lot of females, and I'm always like, he ain't got no job. He ain't got this sister. Like, why are you dealing with him, right? Yeah. And it's literally like my sisters just be like, I don't know.
It's because we desire to be loved, and we come from a culture and an environment where we're taught this is our role and this is our responsibility with inside our Black culture. And our Black culture and dynamics, everything falls on the weight of Black women in our shoulders. And we're expected to build the man, maintain the children. And while building the man, we're expected to allow them to lead. But how do you lead if you need building?
Yeah.
And if I'm building you, then are you really leading?
Exactly.
Right? And I know like people are saying, oh, that's just so not traditional and that's not cool to say that. But I do believe men should lead, and they should lead, and not from a place of domination, but a place of direction.
Yeah.
For your household.
Me, I want the same thing that the white women have.
Me too.
I want to literally wake the kids up, get them dressed for school, and go paint the backyard, right?
Okay. Like,
and then when by the time my man get home, the dinner gonna be ready. The
okay.
kids. That's the life I want.
Me
I
too.
Because
all
life.
This feminine movement about women having equal rights and working.
Y'all can have all
I'm over it. I'm totally over it. So we're gonna start a movement in 2024 called the
soft
Back
Girl
to
era.
Business or Back Soft Girls, Soft Something.
Baby,
provision.
Do it yourself book club or something. Because baby, if a man in my house, he better be ready to work.
In more than one way. Okay?
Right?
Amen.
Like, go to work.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys for listening to the Black Conversion Show with my co-host, my cousin Clyde. What a day.
Yo.
I really enjoyed the conversation. I'm actually going to invite him back next week. So continue to listen to 92.7 XM WMDX, and I'll see you next week.
Peace.